Translation. After hearing this... No. After hearing this, the Lord, as usual, rejected it, considering it to be external devotional service. He again asked Ramananda Roy to speak further, and Ramananda Roy replied, "Pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection." Now we just remind ourselves, the last verse Ramananda Roy said was, "One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes Supreme Brahman, becomes fully joyful, he never laments or desires, he is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me." So Mahaprabhu is saying, speak something more, and then Ramananda replies, "Pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection." Purport. In his Anubhasya commentary, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that this stage, devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge, is also external and not within the jurisdiction of pure devotional service as practiced in Vaikuntha Loka. As soon as there is some conception of materialistic thought, be it positive or negative, the service is not spiritual. It may be free from material contamination, but because there is mental speculation, the devotional service is not pure and freed from the contamination of material life. A living entity who wants to be completely pure must be above this material conception. The negation of material existence does not necessarily mean spiritual existence. After material existence is negated, spiritual existence, namely Sat Chit Ananda, still may not be manifested. Until one comes to the stage of actually understanding one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, he cannot enter into spiritual life. Spiritual life means becoming detached from material life and engaging in the loving service of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore asked Ramananda Roy to explain something transcendental to devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore asked Ramananda Roy to explain something transcendental to devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge. Okay. A pure devotee is completely surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, and only by his love does he conquer Krishna, who cannot be conquered by anyone. Krishna always stands victorious over everything. No one can conquer him. One can attain the stage of pure devotion simply by fully surrendering. This is next corroborated by Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3, wherein Lord Brahma, defeated by the potency of Sri Krishna, fully surrendered unto the Lord. Prahupu kahe e bhaya age kahe ara raya kahe jnana shunya bhakti sajasara. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya Chaksusun militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya manobistam stapitam jena bhutale Svayam rupa kadam ayam tadati svapadantikam Vandeham sri gudo sri yuta padakamalam sri gudun vaishnavamscha Sri rupam sagajatam sahagana raghunatam vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe brindavaneshwari Brisabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyebhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Shunya Anya Bilashita Shunyam. The pure definition of pure devotional service mentions this same word here that we have in the verse, shunya. Shunya means zero. Completely zero. What is the pure devotional service? Is completely free from knowledge, speculative knowledge, and material fruitive desires. And it's rendered to Krishna, its service rendered to Krishna without these things and rendered favorably. This is the definition of pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunya. Same word is here used, and the purport is about how that Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, as practiced, Prabhupada says, in Vaikuntha, is completely transcendental and spiritual, and not part of anything to do with this material realm. So this is to be understood. Kamibhya parito hare priyataya tebhyo jnana vimukti bhakti parama. So in this world we can actually divide human beings into just four types of human beings, not counting the aboriginal humans. There is the vikarmis, the karmis, the jnanis, and the devotees. Yogis also fall into the category of jnanis. So the vikarmis, they're just sense enjoyers. They don't care for God, they don't care for spiritual life, they don't care for the next life, they don't care about karma, they don't care. They just do whatever they want. It's kind of rare to find someone like this because people feel guilty and they get hesitant because the soul is naturally good. Therefore, you'll find a mixture. Sometimes they do pure hedonistic activity, sometimes they might pray to God. So there's a mixture. But basically, the vikarmis, they're like animalistic sense enjoyment, blind sense enjoyment. Let me just enjoy today, tomorrow. And their body is always full of desires. Senses are always full of desires. Vishaya, lalasa. There's a constant greed to satisfy your senses at every moment. This is vikarmi. It's bad. It's a bad life. It's a very bad life, and the karma is getting more and more complicated. So there are very many varieties of these sense enjoyers. But above them is the karmis, and there are different varieties of karmis. So in all religions, spiritual people all over the world, they want to enjoy, but they're little hesitant, little, let me pray to God, let me be spiritual for half an hour a day, or once a week. Or let me go on a retreat and not speak any words for a week. Let me become a vegan, maybe that will help my karma. So there's varieties of karmis who are trying to be spiritual or are religious, but their main motivation is to enjoy. So some of them are very dutiful. Some of them are very dear to Krishna. Lecture of Instruction says, Karmibhya. Paratohara Priya, these karmis who follow the Vedic injunctions, Krishna's, Nirupa Goswami says, they're dear to the Lord. Krishna's very, he likes that they come and bow down to him, offer some worship, some sacrifice. So in the Vedic system, most people are karmis. They perform some penance, some sacrifice to God. Karmibhya priyatayo. They may perform regular sacrifices to please God, but their main motivation is, let me enjoy
the material world, and maybe I can also enjoy in my next life, I'll go to the heavenly planets, if I'm really pious. So there's variety, so many. There's less pious, more pious, but in their heart, I am the enjoyer. And God, He's a provider of my enjoyment. And I love God because He provides everything for me. So this is good platform. This is religious platform. But this material platform. So above these, the Gyanis, Gyani Vimukta, Bhakti, the philosophical speculators or great yogis. Brahma Samhita says, Pantastu koti shatavatsada sampragamyo vayoratapi manasa muni pungavanam. Munis, the great munis, they've given up all materialistic life. Only sitting, contemplating philosophy. They are wise. They understand that if I engage in this sense enjoyment, then there's karma, entanglement, and I suffer. Because with happiness comes distress. Every time you try to enjoy the material world, some distress will come. You can't have one without the other. You know, we enter into so many relationships, or we enter into material enjoyment with the idea to be happy. But with happiness, material happiness, distress comes. Always. Cannot have one without the other. This is Krishna's saying in Bhagavad Gita. Mode of passion means very happy in the beginning, then distress. Mode of ignorance, just distress in the beginning and end in the middle. And mode of goodness, it's a little difficult in the beginning. You have to get up early, control your mind and senses. Very difficult. Poison, Krishna says. It's like poison in the beginning. So mode of passion, it's nectar in the beginning. Oh, it's so wonderful. I'm so happy. Then followed by distress, poison. Oh, I hate you. You ruined my life. So this is a gross example. So, but you've got to see the principle. Some less, some more, some varieties. So mode of passion is there. Mode of ignorance is there. Mode of goodness, control your mind and senses. Try to be spiritual. So the great munis, the great philosophers, Bahunam janmanam mante gyanavam mam prapajate. After many, many lifetimes, they are gradually, gradually coming to the lotus feet of Krishna. So muni pungavanam, that they are drilling the respiratory system, they are meditating, they are achieving samadhi, means they're no longer on the mental platform. But they're still, they have the sense that I am a separate person and I am achieving spiritual enlightenment. So this is not the devotee's platform. So this pantas, this is the ascending process. That I am going to go forward and progress and I am going to achieve spiritual life. So bhakti yoga is different to all the other processes. It's not about ascending. Ascending knowledge, ascending effort, mental speculation. It's actually received through the chain of disciplic succession. It's based upon hearing. So the next verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to accept this as spiritual. And I quote this verse a lot when I give class, but I'm not going to quote it today. But he's going to say, I'm going to try and avoid quoting it. No, it's a joke. So he's going to say that when you come to this platform of submitting to the hearing process from the devotees, then you finally begin the process of bhakti. First thing is hearing. Shravanam, Shruti Praman. So the process of Krishna consciousness is based upon hearing. And when you hear, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have to love Him, you have to offer some service, you have to offer devotional service. Then you begin the path. And immediately, Vasudev Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojito Janayatu Shivairagyam Gyanam Chayadohoitakam. Immediately, knowledge and renunciation is automatic. Why is that? How is that? You come in the door, you immediately got full transcendental knowledge that Krishna is the supreme and I'm not separate from Krishna. I am a part and parcel of Krishna. I have no separation. We are one in loving relationship. I am in the spiritual world. There is only the servant, service, and the served. That's all that's happening in Vaikuntha. Completely transcendental, completely spiritual. So as soon as you do this Vasudeva Bhagavat, this devotional service, immediately, Prabhupada says, concomitant factor. Concomitant's a very nice word. It means follows naturally. Just like when you eat, naturally you feel some pleasure. You don't have to struggle very hard for pleasure in this world. Just take some prasadam, you'll be happy. And the body gets nourished. Bhakti paresh anubhava viraktiya. And your hunger is gone. So when you come to bhakti, when you practice bhakti yoga, you'll get satisfaction, you'll get direct experience of Krishna, and you'll get detachment. Pleasure, experience, and you'll be detached. You'll get the higher taste. Param drisva nivartate raso pyasyo raso vajam. It's so nice, so nice. Get up early, see this morning sun, chant Hare Krishna, see Radha Gokulananda, samsara dava. It's a beautiful lifestyle. And you become purified. And then you gradually approach this transcendental platform. Yat pada pankaja palasa palasa bhakcha kamasayam gratitam udgratayanti santaha. You become peaceful. The yogi, he's sitting there trying to overcome his material desires. He's struggling very hard, the great philosophers. But the bhakta, he does it very easily. The hard knot of material desire in the heart is loosened, dissolved, and evaporated by this process of Vasudeva Bhakti Yoga. Hare Krishna. See, this is a sign that's correct. Kama sayam gratitam gudgrayanti santa tadvanna rikto riteyona yatayo pirudha shoto ganam tamadanam vasubhaja vasudevam. Just engage in the bhaja, worship Krishna, and everything will be fully revealed to you in time. Because the yogis, the gyanis, they're not trying to satisfy Krishna, but he's the supreme controller. He controls everything. His opulence is unbelievable. You cannot conceive. Parashya shakti vividaya shruyate. You cannot conceive. Just study one flower. How wonderful it is. It's full of color, it's full of fragrance, it's soft, it's beautiful to look at. And then a bumblebee comes. It takes the essence of that flower and it turns it into liquid nectar. Just see creation of Krishna. Millions of universes. Everything is fully inconceivable. Everything is perfect, full of pleasure. When the sun rises, the birds are all singing. They're very happy. Everything in Krishna's creation is full of pleasure, it's full of perfection, and it's full of happiness. Everywhere you look. So all you have to do, Vasudevi Bhajanam, you have to worship Krishna. And all you have to do is please Krishna. You don't have to do anything else. What is the verse? Taro mula nisachanaina. If you water the root of the tree, then the flowers and fruits. If you pour water on the flowers or the leaves or the branches, you'll get nowhere. You'll get nowhere. Maybe some drop of water will hit the base. So this is what this is saying. It's saying that, it's interesting what Prabhupada says here. He says that, where is it? I'm reading the wrong verse, excuse me. It may be free from material contamination, but because there is mental speculation, the devotional service is not pure. Now this is interesting, because he's saying that these mental speculators, there's some hint of bhakti, there's some hint of devotion. So Prabhupada would make this point that in every activity, when you try to achieve something, there must be some surrender. If you want to paint a picture, or you want to write music, you have to try, there's a type of surrender, sacrifice. So on all levels, there is always sacrifice, and that sacrifice is a type of surrender to the will of the Almighty, the will of the Supreme, because you have to make some endeavor. So when it becomes more spiritual, there's a hint of bhakti, a hint of surrender, devotion, submission to God, even in these non-devotees. But it's not fully spiritual and transcendental. So there are 9 processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. And they are all eternal. And they are bestowed upon the liberated living being. So in the spiritual world, that's all that's going on. Everyone's performing these 9 processes of bhakti. They're also eternal. Chanting is eternal. Hearing is eternal. Remembering Krishna is eternal. Offering prayers, devotion, archanam. Every day in Vaikuntha, they are worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. There's a big aarti. There's music, just like here. It's everything is eternal. And anything that's not these 9 devotional services is tinged with materialism. Eka Krishna Nama Kare Sabe Pape Choi Nava Bida Bhakti Purna Nama Hoi Te Hoi. And of all the 9 forms of devotional service, the chanting of the holy name is the most important. Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, one can destroy all sinful activity. And one can complete all the other 8 forms of devotional service by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kali Kali, Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar. Sava Mantra Sada. So this word is there also, Sada. It means the essence. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. And the holy name of Krishna, Sava Mantra Sada. It contains the essence of all mantras. So many millions of mantras are there for achieving this, for elevating the consciousness. Sava Mantra, all the mantra, or the essence of all mantras are in this mantra. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. Nama, what is it? No, second verse of Shikshastakam. Nam namakari bahuda nija sava shaktis tachapita. Oh my Lord, you are so kind that you have invested all your potencies into your holy name. Therefore you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna, Govinda, Gauranga, Gauranga. But I'm so unfortunate that I commit offenses, therefore I have no attraction for chanting your holy name. So, Trinadapi Sunichina. So if we want to actually taste this Hare Krishna mantra, we have to be very humble. We cannot find fault with the devotees. Everyone has faults. We have to see only the good. We have to train ourselves. And in this way we can progress spiritually in the selfless, pure devotional service of the Lord, without any tinge of materialism. So becoming detached from material life is not enough. You have to become attached to Krishna. Maya sakta mana apata. Your spirit, soul, your person, you're full of tastes and mellows, and you have such wonderful abilities. So Krishna is also a person. He's a limited and the unlimited simultaneously. People think God is not a person. How can God be a person? Because he's unlimited. But if you say that only God is unlimited, then you're limiting him. He's both the fully limited and fully unlimited. By the love of his devotee, he becomes fully limited. But he's also unlimited. So you cannot limit the unlimited by saying he's not limited. He's both, simultaneously both. Sarva Shakti. He has unlimited opulence, and one of his opulences is that he becomes subjugated by love, the love of his devotee, and they have an eternal relationship, and that relationship blooms and blossoms unlimitedly in the spiritual world. This world is simply an imitation, a reflection, where we're trying to find that love. We're looking for Krishna everywhere, every day, but he's in your heart. So you have to purify that heart. Krishna will only appear in a thoroughly purified heart. So you have to become like very pure and humble, simple. And by serving Krishna, you will be able to love all living entities, even the bad guys. Because you will see he's actually part and parcel of Krishna. Okay. Just have a quick look. Sarva Padi Vine Mukta. Ananya Chaita Satatam. Hare Krishna. Tebhyo Gyani Vimukti Bhakti Padama. We should read that verse. And come bring it up, Nectar of Instruction number 10, and then we'll finish. I forgot my phone. I forgot my books. Who's got it? Nishi English, nice and loud. Really loud, yeah. Please hear this first, and then we'll stop.
So this is Nectar of Instruction, verse 10. In the Shastra, it is said that all types of fruitive workers who is advanced in knowledge of their high values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord Hari. Out of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, jnanis, one who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take to devotional service. He is superior to others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental cowherd boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her Kund lake is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radhakund and in the spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings? Aparakrita bhav render loving service to the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their astakalya lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radhakund are the most fortunate people in the universe.
Jai Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we have little time. Any points, questions as such? Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. Just a question, because you said at the beginning there are four types of human beings, like we can divide them in four categories.
Yeah.
Without counting the aboriginals. Why is that?
Uh-huh. That's a good question. So it's very interesting that you see a lot of Aboriginal people around the world, they're having their homes destroyed by industrialism. You know, they're having their forests smashed and their mountains smashed. And there's a lot of
charitable people, compassionate people trying to help them. So the Aboriginal people, they're basically, they don't commit sin. There's no sin on in their lives. They are just acting completely in accordance with nature. And so we just separated them from the four types because they're in between. Kind of like people think, right? It's very common. People think, oh, they're the highest people because they're totally in touch with nature. Right? Just like people love animals. Why do they love animals? Because animals don't commit sin. They're pure. They just act according to their senses. They have no sin. So everyone, you know, we've invented the internet. You can find any information. But what's the most watched things? Cat and dog videos. Prabhupada said, this is a cat and dog society. So everyone is cat and dog. Oh, they're so sweet, it's so nice. So this is not what human life is for. And Neva and the Aboriginal, they will all automatically get a higher status in their next life. But they're not advanced spiritual people. Okay? Tarun? Oh. Silas.
Thank you, Prabhu. I thought you said you were exhausted, but that was a nice class. Anyway, Prabhu, so a lady came and talked about cats and dogs. So a lady came and she said, tours, you know, hospitality yeah. department, a visitor. So she said, she walked in. So we touched upon the topic of karma, reincarnation. I said, oh, I want to come back as my cat. And I said, why is that? She said, well, I treat my cat so well. I mean, she's so well looked after and spoiled. I want to be my cat. So I said, be careful because nature is precise. You might just get what you ask for. So it's true. People are so enamored by these animals. So they want to become them.
Yeah.
I mean, and she was quite serious about it.
Seriously? Yeah.
Okay. That's all. Not philosophical, but anyway, yeah. I'll share that.
Krishna will fulfill all desires.
Thank you for the wonderful class. It's very nice. I didn't quite I found it difficult to understand, and I still do actually, like the different divisions of karmis, gyanis, and then bhaktas. And I just wonder why is it, because in the verse also it talks about speculative knowledge, how that's a problem. And for me, it seems like the real problem or the real lacking that they have are that they're impersonalists, is that that knowledge is leading them to impersonalism. So why does it classify them as gyanis as opposed to, say, impersonalists? Because we also have gyan in our devotional service. Like, we have knowledge, we're cultivating knowledge, we're learning verses, we're reading books. So we're also cultivating gyan that's in connection to Krishna. So why are they classified as gyanis and not classified as impersonalists?
Yeah, it's just a subtle difference in we study, we have knowledge, but our knowledge is received from the pure devotees and from the Shastra. And the Gyanis, impersonalists, they also receive knowledge from the Shastra. So what is the difference? And it's to do with the reception of that knowledge. So the classic impersonalists of the Vedic culture, they reject all karma, they reject all the fruit of activities, and they take to philosophical speculation. And their gurus, the Shastra, they study Vedanta Sutra. And anyway, I'm trying to... I don't want to get too complicated with it, but it's to be understood. Yeah, if you study that seventh chapter of Majjalila, Adi Lila, you can go through that. But our knowledge is, the root of our knowledge is from Krishna and the pure devotees.
So therefore, it's based upon pure devotional service. It's transcendental, where their knowledge is received from Shankaracharya and or mental speculators. In any religion, in any philosophers, there's only these categories: karmis, gyanis, and yogis and bhaktas. You know, and yogis are a type of gyani as well. So there's such a wide variety, such a wide spectrum. Some of them may be tinged with bhakti. And I'm not a scholar, so I cannot explain it so easily. But spiritual knowledge from the Srimad Bhagavatam, pure devotee, is little different to studying without the reception of the devotee's mercy in the form of his sound vibration. So because they've not received that, they are still on the Gyan platform. Because only when they meet devotee and receive the mercy of bhakti, can they get off that Gyan platform and begin devotional service. It's kind of simple, really. So because there's so much variety, we call them impersonalists, speculators. Here, Prabhupada's saying spiritual platforms, we use these words spiritual for them as well. But here, Prabhupada's not using the term spiritual for them. He's saying only the devotees are fully spiritual. We sometimes say transcendental and spiritual. So there's a lot of terminology, and you got to keep it simple. Antaranga is going to help me. Is that clear? Was that kind of clear? A little clear.
I was thinking it was a very interesting question by Tarun Krishna.
That's a good question, yeah.
And my small offer will be that actually these impersonalists, it is like, yes, they are jnanis, but the way they utilize the jnana, the knowledge, is for their own personal benefit.
Yeah.
Because their emotional kind of a feeling that there is no God. So that's, and they're utilizing jnana, they're utilizing knowledge to support that. That's why there's the speculation. Because jnana or knowledge, Vedanta sutras, they point towards very simple direction. God is a person and you have relationship with him. So the way they utilize Shastra and they speculate to reverse this conclusion, they try their all best to reverse the conclusion of the scriptures and saying, no, God is, you know, Brahman. There's nothing. It's just he's a manifestation of this all-pervading energy. So I would say that the very reason why they are impersonalist and same time utilizing Shastra is that act of speculation. That's the only conclusion. They just speculate to the degree when they wish to support that God doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's one type. That's one type of impersonalist. But there's others. Tasharavinda. What's that verse? Tasharavinda, Makarashavinda. The Kumaras, they were impersonalists. Shukadeva Goswami was a quote-unquote impersonal. But when they came in touch with Krishna, when the Kumaras smelt the Tulsi buds, the lotus from the lotus, they immediately had a change of heart, change of mind. So the heart softened. Shukadeva Goswami, Ye Leela Krista, when he heard the melodious pastimes of Krishna, he became a devotee. Atmaramas Chamunayo. Even the self-satisfied Atmaramas, when they hear the wonderful qualities of Krishna, they become devotees. So there's some which have harder hearts than others. Some are more staunch than others. Some are soft and they're not rejecting God. They just haven't had the experience. So there's a spectrum. And that's why it's not so easy to say this or that. And that's why there's some ambiguity sometimes, some lack of clarity. So in these cases, Sukadeva Goswami, he received the mercy of his father. The Kumaras, they saw Lord Narayan in person. Immediately, wow, forget that impersonalist. This is, when Brahma saw Lord Krishna, he said, Lord Narayan, he said, I can understand you are the source of everything. Just by seeing him. So, I've opened up a Pandora's box. And Tarang, I'm just going to pass it over to someone else. Okay, is that all right? We can talk later, maybe. I just want to give this devotee a chance here.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this wonderful katha.
Jay.
I wanted to ask, is worshipping and serving the Supreme Person of Godhead as Radha Krishna equivalent to worshipping and serving the Supreme Person of Godhead as Lakshmi Narayan?
Yes, it is same. Hare Krishna.
Peter. So on the topic of, like, you know, you mentioned the aboriginals or tribal people, uh-huh. and comparing them to, like, animals because they're so in touch with nature. So what do you think of, you know, like, shamanism? Because they have shamanic spirituality, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Among the tribals, like Amazon, you know, they
have... Yeah, they have God consciousness. You know, they... Mm-hmm. They worship nature, don't they, a lot? They worship mountain... This is our holy mountain. It gives us everything. This is our God. You know, so they have God consciousness. Yeah,
and you know, like the tribes in the Amazon. You know, they do this ayahuasca ceremony. Now it's becoming popular.
Hare Krishna.
There's an interesting about that. You know, in Oxford Center for Hindu Studies, someone gave a talk about that, comparing it to Rig Veda. Like a scholar of the Rig Veda.
Yeah.
He said that he finds really strong parallels between the Ikaros, you know, what they sing at ayahuasca ceremonies, and the Rig Veda hymn to the Soma.
Ah.
So it's like, basically, it's so elaborate that what they sing to the Soma is the shamans, what they sing to the
Everything
ayahuasca.
Is there, all over the world, in every culture.
And Taranga, no one's bothered about going to breakfast. We're all enjoying here, so you can come back now. Ayahuasca.
Just the points. When you've been narrating that specific
closer.
Section, that specific section of personality, Shukadev Goswami and the Kumaras, they are Brahmavadis. They are considered to be like agnostics in the modern kind of a jargon.
Mm-hmm.
Agnostic in the sense that they haven't denied God, like
neutral.
Mayavadis, but they haven't experienced a relationship with God or experienced someone who has that relationship.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that was just that one point. Just go for this.
Yeah, very good. Govinda Prabhu?
Go back to Tarun Prabhu's question. Why are jnanis called jnanis? Why devotees are not called jnanis, right? Because they've got jnan. Yeah. So I'm thinking, exactly, I mean, the term jnan, it can have several meanings. There's the shushka jnan, dry knowledge. Shushka jnan, there's divya jnan, transcendental knowledge. And it's just, as you said, it's ambiguous, and it's just to do with terminology. We've got a term that has a broad meaning.
Yeah.
And in the context of this discussion, jnani means referring to the other type of jnana, not the spiritual type of jnana. That's
good.
One aspect. And just one other point. There is a difference between a devotee and a jnani in the sense that it's about desire. Devotees, you know, jnani prayasam virapasya. You don't want to quote this verse, you said, right?
Uh-huh.
But it's give up the jnana. It's give up the endeavor for jnana.
Uh-huh.
So in terms of endeavor, devotees, we're not jnanis in terms of endeavor, because we don't want, knowledge is not our goal. Our no goal is love, right? So from the point of view of goal, it is appropriate to call that other group jnanis, because that's kind of what their goal is.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Very good. So, Haribo, you're having a party. So, just on that last thing, the term is like the term itself gives a strength to their main focus. Yeah. So we are bhaktas, although we have so much gyan, but our main thing is bhakti. We don't really care for the knowledge. The knowledge is to help our bhakti. It's an assistant. What is that? Knowledge, liberation, detachment, they're all assistant. They're just automatic, natural. We don't care for them. We care for bhakti. We'll get knowledge automatically. Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, give up the knowledge that you got to reach this stage. Give it all up now. It got you this far. Now just do pure bhakti. Just engage in relationship with Krishna. That's why it's so easy, Krishna consciousness. You don't really need to be a big scholar, big knowledge, philosopher. No, you don't. You just need to serve Krishna. Here, Krishna, please take this offering from me. Thank you, Krishna,
for accepting it. That's Prabhu. Last question.
Hare Krishna. Sorry, question.
For the children. They've done really well, these kids. They're wonderful. You've done very well. Have a lovely day. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the lecture. I just listened to Srila Prabhupada a lot, and one of the points that Srila Prabhupada makes about the difference between impersonalism and bhakti is that impersonalism stops at sat and chit. It does not have ananda.
Yeah.
And bhakti is ananda, including yeah. ananda. And because of that ananda, the eternal stays there. So the impersonalist will have to fall down because of the lack of ananda, yeah. and they have to come back to this platform and experience ananda to go back and become bhaktas. So that's why when they become in contact, they come in contact with bhaktas, they experience that ananda and therefore become fully devotional.
Yes, perfect. Perfect understanding. Actually, in that purport to the next instruction, text 10, Prabhupada mentions this point, Satchidananda. Very good. So we all understand four types of human beings: Vikarmis, Karmis, Gyanis, Devotees. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami, Atala Ashanta. I don't know the next bit. Ah. So the Bhuktis, the materialists, the yogis, the Karmis, again, they're all after something. The Karmis want sense enjoyment. God, give me sense enjoyment, please. I want to win the lottery. And the yogis, they want mystic power. Anima Siddha. And the Gyanis, I want to be free from this material world. So they're all disturbed in mind. They're not peaceful. But the devotee, he's fully peaceful. I just serve Krishna, whatever Krishna wants. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.